Welcome to the Winner's Walk podcast, where you will learn from today's top Christian leaders how to fulfill your divine destiny and to live the victorious life God has called you to live. By sharing their godly wisdom and stories of success, we hope our guests will inspire, educate, and motivate you to walk like the winner God made you to be. And now, here's the host for Winner's Walk, Neil Clark.
Hey, winners. I'm your host, Neil Clark, and I'm excited for today's show. We are honored and blessed to have as our guest one of today's Christian leaders, Mr. Neil Kennedy. Now, I'm going to read a quick bio. Most of you know Mr. Kennedy, but I'm going to read a quick bio for you. Neil Kennedy is the founder and president of Five Star Man, an international movement to resurrect authentic manhood. Neil is an international speaker and author who has written books on helping men to champion life. He is the executive producer of The Daily Champion, Five Star Man ChampionU.life, and Five Star Man for Churches. Neil's background includes establishing two churches and serving as executive pastor at Church on the Move in Tulsa, Oklahoma, one of America's leading churches. He and his wife Kay have been married for 33 years and reside in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They have three grown children and five grandchildren. It is my great pleasure to welcome Mr. Kennedy here today.
Well, thanks for having me, Neil. I appreciate it.
Well, I love to start every show just by asking our guests to share their background, maybe where they're from and how their upbringing was.
Well, you know, I started out in a pretty rough family, to be honest with you, right here in Oklahoma. My family were not believers. There was a lot of alcoholism, drug addiction, and a lot of adultery, serial adultery. When I left home at 17, I found myself a good job and began to, you know, just look for a way to make a living. And so I worked at a coal mine, an open strip mine from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., seven nights a week. And amazingly, I worked alone at night, pumping water out of the pit. And so I spent over a year never taking a night off. And so it was a hard way to start out my adulthood, but that's where I really was forged into becoming the man that I am today. It was in that time of isolation. And I began to call out to the Lord, and whom I, you know, of course, never knew. And through that time, after 4 years, I became a believer and got called into ministry, went to Bible college, got an education, and from there tracked, you know, typical ministry steps of youth pastoring to pastoring, starting a church, and then becoming an executive pastor at a, you know, the mega church, Church on the Move, a great church. Helping lead that church and then starting another church, and stepped out of that to start writing books and consulting churches, nonprofits, and businesses. And then in 2010, launching, after feeling like we heard the voice of God, launching a movement to speak to men and resurrect authentic manhood. And so that's where I am today.
So you mentioned your childhood, and I know that I've heard your story. And I know that was probably a very rough time for you coming up. I kind of grew up in the same scenario where I went through divorce and, you know, multiple stepfathers and that kind of thing. How did you overcome that? I know it's somewhat, unfortunately, somewhat common in today's society. How do you recommend people overcome that challenge?
Well, for me, there was a real challenge to my identity. Who am I? And especially the fact that, you know, my mother set me down with her boyfriend and said, we're not going to call you by your name, Gary, any longer. We're going to call you Neil, which is my middle name. And we're going to assume her boyfriend's name, which is Robertson. I wasn't adopted. And so I assumed a name. I woke up Gary Kennedy. I went to bed Neil Robertson, and in that daylight time, they stole my identity. And the problem with that is if you don't know who you are, you'll never know why you are. And if you don't have that foundation of understanding who you are, then my whole life was striving and grasping, trying to figure out what is this about. And what happens a lot of the time is we begin to sedate ourselves of not knowing who we are. There's an interesting moment when Joseph saw two prisoners. Remember when Joseph was thrown into prison?
Right.
And there were two prisoners in the prison, and Joseph saw them, and he noticed that they were depressed. Well, you would think, well, of course, they're in prison. But he saw that they were depressed, and he asked them why. And their response was, well, we've had a dream, but we don't know how to interpret it. See, what's worse than being incarcerated is having a dream without understanding.
Right.
And that's where a lot of people are. That's where I was. I had dreams and hopes of life, but I didn't have any understanding of it. And so in that grasping of trying to figure out who am I, that's when I finally heard the voice of God. And the voice of God spoke to me very clearly at 3 a.m. in a coal mine and said, I know who you are. I've given you the spirit of son that you may call me Abba. Amazingly, I had not known that that was scripture. I had never read scripture. I read Proverbs, but I had not read the Bible. I thought it was beyond me. I couldn't understand it. But I began to read Proverbs after reading a book by Zig Ziglar, who said that you should read Proverbs every day.
Yep.
And you'll gain wisdom, insight, and understanding, and discipline, and prudent life, and so forth. Well, I was qualified. I was a very simple guy. My education was, you know, very poor. So I started reading Proverbs, but I had not read any of the other scripture. Come to find out later in Romans 8, where that is scripture, and that identity, that moment of affirmation from the Lord changed everything. I'm sure that your listeners are very familiar with, and you are, the book Strength Finders. It's a phenomenal book. I took it just to appease my grown children. I took it because frankly, I don't like personality tests because they normally find that I don't have one, but, so I took Strength Finders, and it was almost like an intervention moment when my kids came over, had dinner with us and said, hey, we've got to talk about the Strength Finders test. And they found that my top strength was self-assurance. And then they said, well, what's the other four top strengths? And I said, well, they don't matter if your top strength is self-assurance.
Right.
And, you know, if you're self-assured, nothing else matters. I'm jokingly saying that because I told them the test was picking up on something that's not true. I have no confidence in my flesh, but I have absolutely no doubt of who I am in Christ. I have no doubt that I have the identity of being a child of God. I have no doubt that I am born of incorruptible seed, the seed of God's word. I have no doubt that God has called me. So having the assurance of identity then gives you the ability to understand purpose. Now that I know who I am, I know why I am. And so that's really the foundation to everything that I believe.
Now, that identity, you got it out of God's word, and was it a overnight process, or did it take you a while to become so self-assured in who you are in Christ?
I think it took time to understand the scripture support. I think I immediately had the affirmation. Mm-hmm. But then it took training of doctrine. It took training of reading the word, you know, through. And I'm not telling you this for any other reason, just for information. I read the Bible through every 90 days. And so I'm constantly reading through the word because the word is the beginning of all things. And the word is the source of life and breath. And so I devour the word of God. And the reason is because I can't build my life on anything other than this foundation. So building a sound doctrine, being able to filter everything that we're hearing through what I believe is the foundation of everything, being the Word of God. So through that, yeah, I have a very high assurance. And again, it's not in who I am in my flesh.
Right.
I have no confidence in my flesh because I know who I was before Christ. But because of who I am in Christ, I'm not obligated to be that man. And so because of that, I am very confident in my identity.
Very good. Now, you mentioned today you are, you have gone through different positions in ministry, which all prepared you for what God called you to do here with men. Why specifically, or what gave you the passion specifically for five-star men?
Well, it was a divine calling. I heard the voice of God to start churches. I heard the voice of God to serve Pastor Willie George at Church on the Move. I was actually coming in to do a little bit of consulting for a nonprofit into Tulsa, ironically, which is my home today. But at the time, I was just coming here to visit and just consult a nonprofit, very large nonprofit. And so when I was coming in, I'd been praying and sensing that God was wanting to do something in my life. And I thought, well, I'm just going to go pastor again. And that's just my assumption. But obviously I was wanting to pray it through and figure out, you know, exactly what that would be. So as we were coming in for a landing, the tires hit the tarmac of Tulsa International Airport. And all of a sudden I felt a word of knowledge come to me. And I heard three statements. The first statement was, I want you to build a movement to resurrect authentic manhood. So I wrote that down. One of the key things that I've learned, this is just a side note, that anytime that I think that I'm hearing from the Lord, I write it down very specifically because the Lord is very accurate in his wording. And so I write it down, but then I meditate on it and I check it with scripture and other things just to make sure that I'm not being deceived, making sure I'm not hearing a stranger's voice. So I write it down, build a movement to resurrect authentic manhood. The second thing that the Holy Spirit said to me was focus on the purposes of a man and he will cast off the things that constrain him. So when I wrote that down, I leaned back and I'm sitting back in common man's first class, which is the exit row. And I'm sitting there trying to figure out what's happening. You know, what is the Lord speaking to me? And I just simply said, I don't know what the purposes of a man are. And that's when the third statement was Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. So out of Proverbs 20, verse 5, the purposes of a man are deep waters, a man of understanding draws them out. Out of that came the understanding that basically men, in the original intent of manhood, has five purposes. Thus, that's where the name five-star man came.
Right.
So we're not just a 1-2-3-star guy. It's not the ranking of a man. It's the identifying of the five streams of purpose within a man. Every man, every male has these five purposes. Now, it's very, very important that we understand that Proverbs 20, verse 5 is speaking specifically to the male. A lot of the newer versions have made it gender neutral, but it's important sometimes that we hold to the exact language of God for us to have full understanding of what he's saying. Proverbs 20, verse 5 uses the term ish for man. And within ish, the Hebrew word ish, is the word for, or basically describes five categories of purpose. The adventure spirit, entrepreneurial drive, gallant relationships, faithful character, and philanthropic and cause. Now that's my language explaining and categorizing all of the language that's within that definition. Once I got that, I realized this is a message that resonates with men. And so ever since then, I've been trying to obey the first phrase, I want you to build a movement to resurrect authentic manhood. And by the way, a movement is different than a ministry. A movement requires multiple voices speaking the same message to influence cultural change. So I'm going to say that again. A movement is multiple voices speaking the same message to influence cultural change. So that's what we're doing.
That's awesome. And I think that's very much needed. And in today's society, obviously, there are forces that are trying to tear down what you're building. And there's a need for, you know, for that. I wish this was taught in every public school and every school in North America. It would be, America would be much greater than it is. And, but thank God for men like yourself who are making that possible. What hurdles have you had to face in building your ministry, and just, how did you overcome those?
I've experienced it this way in everything that I've ever done, and all of the, you know, ministry efforts, business endeavors, and so forth. And so I wrote a book called Seven Laws Which Govern Increase in Order. And the reason I wrote that book was I was able to experience ministry at its smallest stage. And so when you start a church, you start with nothing. And so I found that the world operates on a currency called seed, time, and harvest. Right. And so with that currency, then you're able to not despise small beginnings and go ahead and begin to understand growth and begin to understand the processes that the earth operates by. And a lot of people don't understand this, but it's absolutely the currency of the earth. In fact, all of our currencies of man, the dollar, the yen, the peso, the euro, and so forth, even the gold and silver currencies, if you use them that way, operates on seed, time, and harvest. So the seed simply produces what it is. It has to. It can't deviate from that. But also that we're given this mandate that as long as the earth endures, there's going to be seed, time, and harvest. Do not be deceived. Whatever a man sows is what he will reap. So with that understanding, I begin to realize that although my beginnings are small, the future is bright as long as I understand this process. That's where a lot of people, especially in business, the men that are in business listening to this, have to understand that the great things only come when you're faithful to the small things. I have a friend, David Green, who is the owner, founder of Hobby Lobby. He began Hobby Lobby with a $600 investment in his garage, and now he's worth, what, maybe $8 billion. Right. Well, he understands the law of seed, time, and harvest. And if you don't understand that, you're going to be incredibly frustrated. But if you do understand it, then all of a sudden, all of these principles begin to work for you. And I discovered these principles in starting churches or even managing 12,000 attendees on a weekend in a mega church. And these principles are irrespective of the person using them.
Right.
You don't have to have personal righteousness to use the principles that are righteous.
Right.
So the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So a person that is ungodly can tithe and still get the principle, the blessing of the tithe. It's the craziest thing in the world. But the reality is God established these things, and vice versa. A person who has made God, you know, the Lord and Savior of his life, and yet doesn't operate in these principles, they are unwise. And actually, Jesus pointed out that even the children of this world are smarter than the children of light. If you don't operate the principles that God teaches in his word, you're not going to get the benefits. And so that's where I learned these things, and I began to put those into motion.
That's fantastic. Now, who were your mentors coming through, or did you have mentors, or, and how did they speak into your life, I guess?
Yeah, every book I've ever read has mentored me. And thank God that we have the ability to do that. You know, somebody said that the man who doesn't read has no advantage over the man who can't read. And leaders are readers. And the fact of the matter is, you've got to be a reader. The average American starts a new book every year and doesn't finish it. The average millionaire reads one nonfiction book a month. You get to choose whichever camp you want to be in. I consider every man that's ever, or woman that's ever written a book, a mentor to me. Now, I believe that you get wisdom either one or two ways. You can get it through the experience of your life, mm-hmm. or you can get it through mentors. And I highly recommend mentors, because you don't have a long enough life to live all of the lessons that you need.
Right.
So with $19.95 or whatever the cost of the book is, I find it amazing, intriguing to me that I can sit down with Warren Buffett. I can sit down with Steve Jobs, who's now passed away. I can sit down with presidents of old. I can sit down with, you know, whoever, simply for a few dollars, and I can have all of their best, because you're going to put your best in a book.
Right.
I have found, Neil, I have found that the greatest lessons I've learned from great men, and I've had the fortunate opportunity to be around high achievers, great men, and I value those moments. I value those times. A few months ago, I was standing in La Jolla, California at a resort. Dave Ramsey, John Maxwell, Rabbi Daniel Lapin, and I are in a huddle. As powerful as I think that conversation was, do you know, not one bit of that conversation I can actually recall as life-changing. However, I can point at every one of those individuals, Rabbi Daniel Lapin, his book, Thou Shalt Prosper. I can look at John Maxwell's, The Laws of Leadership. I can look at Dave Ramsey and his books. Their books is where their value is. It doesn't make me special, the fact that I got to stand there and chat with them for 30 minutes by a pool. And what makes it special is the fact that they have books and I'm able to be mentored by them. And not only that, I can be mentored by people who would never befriend me in any other way.
Right. Right. That's great. And books are definitely, obviously Zig Ziglar, you mentioned, was the pathway that God kind of used to direct you and to speak to you.
Yeah. Ironically, Tom Ziglar was in that meeting and I got to meet Tom, and which is Zig Ziglar's son.
Right.
And I got to thank Tom personally for his father's legacy, because I believe that it was Tom's father, Zig Ziglar, who, by writing See You at the Top, by having that book available, I read that book. I believe the seeds of my salvation were sown from that experience. So I believe that he has directly contributed to my salvation. And so I thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. Now, as we kind of wrap up here, what other words of wisdom would you have for our listeners today as far as how to walk like a winner that God's made them?
Well, I believe the first thing that we want to do is we want to encourage men every day. So what we did was we designed the Daily Champion to be delivered to every man's tablet. I was reading, I was asking the Lord, how do I have a strategy to get this message out? And so that quarter, I was reading through Habakkuk 2:2, or the whole book, but I read to Bible, but I went to Habakkuk 2:2, and it said, write my message plainly on tablets. And what's funny is I was reading my tablet when I was reading it off my tablet, and I began to realize, wait a minute, this is the answer to all of my problems. All I have to do is deliver an encouraging word to every man's tablet, and I would be able to help transform his drive time into the most critical time of his day, and turning his daily commute into a communion. And so what we do is we deliver that daily champion. It's 3 or 4 minutes long, and it changes the course of their day. Here's why. Because we're speaking life into them that, hey, listen, you have an anointing from God to fulfill your call. You have a vocation, a divine call on your life. Your hand is anointed as a craftsman. Just like when Moses had the blueprint of the tabernacle, a blueprint is not enough. He had to have Bezalel and Oholiab, anointed craftsmen to do the work. So I believe that every man should be anointed in their craft. So as they're going to work, believe that their hand is going to be empowered to prosper their company. And by all means, don't criticize your company that's paying you money. Speak blessing over it. Don't gripe and grumble and complain. Speak blessing over it. Be a leader. And when you're driving home, prepare yourself to be a husband and cultivate your wife with the seeds of your words and expect a harvest of righteousness out of your wife. And then prophesy your children's future. If you will do those two transformational practices, take those action steps, you're going to begin to change your life. And we're here to help in any way that we can. That's what Five Star Man exists to do.
Now, I can't encourage our listeners more. How do they get engaged with the Daily Champion? How can they sign up to receive that free resource?
Yeah, simply go to fivestarman.com. Always spell it out. FiveStarMan.com. Fivestarman.com. And all of our resources are there. We have the Daily Champion. We have what we call the Champion You, where we champion men we coach men to champion their life. And then, of course, we have partnerships with churches that we help give them a strategy and a message that to encourage and empower men. But those are our three efforts, and we're really focused on those.
And all of your books are there as well, and resources that you can find dates that Neil's going to be speaking and attend his conferences. I personally just want to thank you for being on the show. I know that you gave a lot of wisdom here, and I encourage my listeners to implement this into their lives and to become the authentic men that God's called us to be, and also be the winner He's called you to be. So thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you for what you're doing. I appreciate the level of excellence that you operate from and all that you're doing to encourage men.
Fantastic.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to connect with us at www.winnerswalk.com for more information on our next podcast and to download your free checklist, the 10 success principles of today's Christian leaders that you can copy. God bless and walk like the winner God made you.